What is up, Ramblin' Raiders listeners? Welcome back to the podcast for episode 96. We have a doozy for you tonight. Special guest on the pod. It's going to be a lot of fun, and we're really excited to bring it to you. Before we get started, let me go ahead and bring in the ringer, my co-host, partner in crime. I have Nick. I don't know shit about sheep. Thompson. Nick, what's up, man?
What up, Jackson? What up, listeners? Man, that nickname is kind of true. But you, when you were making your drink just now, me and Carly had a nice conversation about it. So I know, I think I know a little bit more than you do now.
When was the last time you even saw a sheep?
Probably 2019 rodeo in Houston.
Fair enough, man. Likewise, man. I do not get around sheep as much as our guest does. That's for sure. And we're going to learn a lot about it here tonight. Before we hop right into this interview, let me go ahead and run through our, you know, social media highlight, guys. If you haven't already, rate, review, subscribe on Apple Pod or Spotify. It goes a long way with us, helping us gauge our listenership and seeing where we're at. So make sure you do that. We're also on social media. Facebook page is Ramblin' Raiders Podcast. Our Twitter is at Ramblin' Raiders, and our Instagram is at Ramblin' Raiders. We're very active on all of those sites. We're looking to maybe throw a TikTok in there. I know Nick's really been working on his dance moves. We'll see. You know, that's in the works. We also have a YouTube channel that you can catch these episodes on. You can see them live. And then I've been doing some research today. We're going to get our Twitch live stream figured out as well. Also, we have a website. It is RamblinRaiders.com. 10% of all of our merch sales, you know, of our apparel section on our website, all 10% of those sales goes to a charity of the month. We switch it up. We rotate, and this month, I don't want to, you know, it's like, I feel like, Nick, we've been previewing this chair, this organization and this very great cause for so many episodes without actually telling our listeners what it is. I promise you, next episode, we will make it an absolute point of emphasis must. We are going to finally let you know what this great cause is that we've been trying to build up towards, but for the sake of time and for this interview with Carly, we're going to go ahead and skip on that. But again, we have new logo for all of our merch. 10% of merch sales is going to go to a charity of the month. We also have our write-ups on there. Our episodes are downloadable straight from the website. Like I said, we have an apparel page. We have mission statement pictures about pictures with us, kind of our studio, the entire work. So anything you need to know about the podcast, you can find on RamblinRaiders.com. And with that, we are extremely excited to, you know, bring on a guest who is, you know, even though she's just starting off, her career at Texas Tech has already been distinguished in the highest regard. We're very excited to have her, have her on here. She is a national champion, daunting the double T, the red and black. She's the queen of sheep. We'll just call her, refer to her as that. Carly Winfrey, welcome to the podcast. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks, everyone, for having me. What an intro. I appreciate that.
Hey, that's what we do. We're hype men, and we've been trying to hype up the wool judging team, although, you know, we don't have to do a lot because y'all's record speaks for itself. So we're really excited to have you on, Carly. I know we kind of talked about this pre-pod, but a lot of Texas Tech fans, you know, whenever it comes to meat judging, our ranch horse team, wool judging, we like to, beat our chest, right, and proclaim, which I think we are, you know, the best ag school in the country. We're proven, we have results. But after, you know, you talk all that mess and you kind of wade through, weave through the what's going on here, nobody knows what's actually happening, right? I mean, it's like no one can break it down and knows what the ag program, like what happens kind of at the surface level. And so that's why we wanted to bring you on here to talk about your experience and shine light on everything that the ag program does and just the accomplishments that y'all have already been able to achieve.
Yeah, definitely. Well, thank you for having me. I really do hope that I can provide like a sort of transparency to what the judging programs are here at within Kasner, but I'm just really excited to talk about wool judging with you all, and I'm really grateful that y'all gave me the opportunity to do that. So
of course, and just be ready for a like plenty more terrible dad puns from me throughout this episode. I mean, you don't have to acknowledge them, but just mentally prepare yourself, because I think I have a couple stored up. Nick, I'm going to let you go ahead and lead off, man, with the first question, just to get the ball rolling so our listeners can get to know Carly a little bit better.
Yeah, Carly, we're sitting here, and, you know, it's a Zoom call, right, for all you people listening just to the audio. And she's sitting here in her, I guess, her room, and there's literally, I think, an MVP trophy from the Houston Livestock Show and Rodeo from this year's national championship. But before we dive into that, we just want to get an overarching, just kind of tell us a little bit about yourself. So our listeners that are coming far and wide to listen to this podcast, tell us about yourself and, you know, your affiliation with Tech, and then, of course, the Ag and wool judging team.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I just had to say, you asked me to be on this podcast. I just moved into this house. I have no decoration. So naturally, I had to flex with like my first decoration that I have, which is a plaque. So, but other than that, no, thank you all again for having me. My name is Carly Winfrey. I'm a freshman here at Texas Tech studying agricultural communications and political science. I'm heavily involved on campus. I decided to join the wool judging team at the beginning of my first semester. I actually judged wool in high school from my freshman year until my junior year. So I was a part of this organization called the FFA, which is an agriculture education youth-based one. And so they had judging programs or judging contests that you're able to do throughout the FFA. And so that's how I mainly got involved in this. And then I also got even more involved because I actually have two older brothers who graduated from Tech and graduated from the College of Ag, and they actually judged wool, and they also coached the wool judging teams in former years. So wool judging has kind of always been something that I've been a part of, as crazy as it sounds. But I'm definitely excited to be on Texas Tech's campus here, a part of a program that is known for the amount of national championships that they've racked up. But also something that's really cool, especially after winning and hearing everything, is the support that we have. Even though they're such unconventional programs, it's crazy. Like, people like y'all that want someone that represents judging teams to be heard, and just the support that we get on Twitter and like literally every social media platform is awesome. But you know, that's a little bit about myself, and I can't wait to talk to y'all more about wool. So
yeah, absolutely. Now I got to ask you this, because you said you were involved in FFA, right? Is what it's called. I honestly, mad respect. I had a lot of friends in high school that were involved in FFA, and I always thought it was such a great, you know, group and organization. Did you do get a chance to do mutton busting? Is that what it's called? The mutton? No.
That's for kids, bro.
Oh, what's the other one? Calf scramble. That's what I'm thinking of. Well, both. Did you get to do mutton busting as a kid?
I didn't do mutton busting, I didn't do calf scramble.
Okay,
either.
Sorry. That's what I was, yeah.
Yeah.
the calf scramble is by far my favorite event at the Houston Livestock and Rodeo. So much fun to watch. I mean, I put it right up there with football. You know, kids trying to tackle sheep. A lot of fun. So I had to ask that. Also, poli-sci major. Yeah, calves. You know, I forgot. You know what? I gave Nick a lot of mess earlier. Maybe he does know a little bit more about sheep than I.
Well, it's called the calf scramble because you scramble for a calf.
You know what? Here, I'm done. I'm just gonna see my. I'm gonna see myself out. I don't know, man. Some of those calves are like pretty. I feel like a little bit bigger than like what I would assume like a baby sheep is, like a mutton busting. You know. So I mean, all I know is some of these high school kids pop up, they're bleeding from the face. Yeah. So these calves, sheep, whatever. I mean, they're big enough to where they're doing a little bit of damage. But also, poli-sci major, be careful in Holden Hall. It's so old. That's where I walked the halls and you know, did the bare minimum of studying that was required to pass. And congrats on being a poli-sci major. Next thing I was going to ask is, I guess you kind of already answered that. You said your brothers were involved, right, in the ag program. That's how you got involved with wool judging and you know, everything that you're doing now at Tech, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Family ties, great. What's your favorite memory kind of today? Obviously, you're very, you know, fresh in your career, right? Getting started. What's your favorite memory? Obviously, you know, I feel like the Natty winning the national championship is going to be like the easy answer here. But with your time with the Ag wool judging team, maybe like a behind the scenes thing. I don't know. Y'all were traveling, but just and it can be the national championship if that's, you know, what it is. But what's your favorite memory so far? With, you know, your you know, to date with the program?
Yeah, I definitely think when thinking about favorite memories, obviously winning Houston, that was one that was really cool. But if I'm being honest, like if you look at like our time of like when it comes to wool judging, there's only like three major contests. So you go to one invitational at the first semester, and then after that, you go to what's called the National Western, but which is normally in Denver, Colorado, but because of COVID, it was in Laramie, Wyoming. And then after that, you go to San Antonio contest, and then they crown the national champions as whoever wins the last one, which is at the Houston Livestock Show and Rodeo. And so if you look at, honestly, our history, like, I'll be blunt, like, we were having a pretty rough year. We started off the invitational, like, extremely well, like, exceeded expectations, like, made all really top scores. And then we moved on throughout the year and had really rough times at Wyoming as well as San Antonio. And so when moving on to Houston, like, a lot of us were, like, really down the dumps, like, didn't think, like, we could bounce back. Like, we're honestly pretty worried. But we actually had Dr. Miller, who was actually the meets judging coach here at Texas Tech. And if you know anything about meets judging, like they're a crowning achievement, like their judging program is insanely amazing. Dr. Miller came in during one of our practices and just gave us a pep talk like a week before we went to Houston and was like, hey, listen, like, it's obvious, like, y'all haven't been doing that great. Like, we can recognize that and see that. That doesn't matter as you move on. Like, you're a team and just realize that you can bounce back. And all that matters is that this national championship that's coming up, like, y'all can go and win that. And so you got to forget about what you did in the past and move on and know that you can win. And that, honestly, is probably one of my favorite, like, memories from this entire year of judging because we felt so defeated, but it's just crazy the faculty that we have in Kasner and also in the judging programs to come in there and be like, who cares about what you've done in the past because you still have one more to win and that's the one that's really going to matter. So that was definitely probably my favorite memory that I've had within the judging programs.
Oh, yeah, behind the scenes look, that camaraderie and you know, team chemistry, I feel like it's important. And it all starts from the top, right? Leadership is everything. And you know, that's shout out to the, coaching staff or, yeah. I mean, I know it's a lot of professors too, right. That are basically y'all's like mentors and, or at least I'm under the impression the coaches there. So, starts at the top, great leadership. And they, you know, they rallied y'all and got you where you needed to be. So that's, awesome to hear.
That's gotta be pretty cool because Coach Miller, did you say Dr. Miller or Coach Miller?
Dr. Miller. He's also one of the coaches too.
Yeah.
Doctor by day, coach by night.
Yeah, of the meets judging team. He's been compared, and I've heard him actually in an interview on another podcast. I think it was Guns Up Nation. He's been compared to the Nick Saban of meat judging. And so to have a guy like that come into your group and talk to your group and just give you a pep talk, that's got to be something special. And I'm not surprised that that's your favorite memory.
Yeah, definitely. He's way cool guy. Definitely a really good leader for our entire judging program. So.
All right. Good deal. Well, I guess before we get into the actual kind of the technical side of this, because I think people are going to want to really hear about, you know, how y'all's scoring works, how these competitions are laid out and kind of the structure of that. The last thing we'll ask before we get to it is if there was one thing, you know, we've talked about the listeners of our podcast, the Texas Tech community, one thing that you would want them to take away about this program, y'all's, you know, team that's comprised of, we talked about pre-pod, a lot of young Red Raiders. If there was one thing that you could have our listeners take away about the Texas Tech Ag program and the wool judging team in particular, what would it be? I mean, what's kind of the staple, you know, for y'all?
I think I want people to not only think of Kasner and the judging programs as like a program or a college that like racks up national championships, but also like a program that truly builds students in terms of their character. So when I was deciding to go, like which college I wanted to attend, I was honestly torn. I like grew up my whole entire like life. I'm from Seminole, Texas. So only an hour away from Lubbock. Like it was like Texas Tech was, I was always going to go there and I kind of had like a little like high school crisis. Like I was trying to decide between going to University of Texas or Texas Tech. And the sole reason why I like decided to come to Texas Tech is because of the faculty that we have within Kasner. They truly, truly believe in setting up their students for success. And it's not only just like making sure that we go out there and win, but it's also the fact that they want to make sure that they're like producing students into the workforce that have good character, good integrity, like a strong work ethic, and like really strong morals and values. So I want people to think of when they look at judging programs in Kasner as like a college that is producing students that are extremely high quality and just really down to earth, good people. So
strive for honor, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Striving for honor. I love that. That's I feel like that's what, you know, embodies kind of the Texas Tech culture, the Texas Tech spirit, is that we band together and, you know, we want to lift each other up and be these model, you know, model citizens and outstanding individuals, not just in our craft for, you know, as you're partaking in the wool judging, not just in our craft, but in all that we do in life, the way we carry ourselves. So great answer, on fire right now.
Yeah, I love that. For those of you listening that are like, what's Kasner? It's the College of Agricultural Sciences and Natural Resources. That's over by the basketball stadium, correct?
There's our stat guy.
Yeah. So we have animal science, like that's over there by the basketball center. That's where a lot of like the judging happens, where like the mass rider, like all the horse, all that jazz is over there. And then a majority of classes are on agro, which is kind of close to the sub too. So
nice. Staying away from Holden Hall. Probably the best for your health, honestly. There's been rumors of asbestos over there, but I digress. Like that's for another time, another podcast that we'll talk about that. Nick, you want to let's transition now into kind of how these competitions work, because this is what I'm most excited to hear about. Our last podcast, for everyone tuning in, and Carly, you can go back, tell, you know, your ag teammates and friends to go back and listen to it. Actually, it wasn't last episode. I think it was two episodes ago, Nick. You remember? Because you weren't on there. It was just me and Lane. But we were you know, shouting y'all out, super pumped. And I'll figure that out. I think it was two episodes ago, about how excited we were that the wool judging team, you know, wins the national championship. And we were kind of running through it and highlighting y'all. But then we started to, you know, question each other. We were like, what actually – how does this work, you know? And of course we like, you know, we kind of clown around and obviously I would assume this isn't the case, but we were like, do they shear the sheep? You know, is it like the density of the wool? Do they make stuff out of it? I know y'all don't do that, but I mean, people's minds are running, right? Like Texas Tech fans have no idea. We joked around earlier, you know, there's rumors out there that there's these sheep fight clubs. They don't know if the students are, you know, wrestling the sheep. As I pointed out earlier, the calf scramble, they start them early, all right? Or if the sheep are fighting, we know nothing, okay? We know nothing. As Michael Scott once said, explain this to us like we're five, okay? Walk us through the layout of a wool judging competition and you know, probably emphasize the fact that, you know, y'all aren't wrestling sheep on the daily.
Yeah. It's definitely humane. Let's make that the first point. Like, it's fully 100% humane. No, but it is crazy. Like, basically, let's see, to explain it to you as if you were five. So wool judging solely has nothing to do with live animals. Rather, wool, for basic terms, is like what comes off of a sheep. So it's what you shear off.
Okay.
So there's like three components to, on a collegiate level, the wool judging contest. So you have what's called the rail. The rail is composed of 30 fleeces, and on that rail, you have to go to each individual fleece, and you have to blood grade the fleece, which means you have to look at its micron diameter. Micron diameter means if you pull a piece out of the fleece, you're looking at, like, the fibers of the fleece. So each, like, fleece that's on the rail, it comes off of different breeds of sheep, and different breeds of sheep are going to have different types of wool. Okay. Some of them are going to be really coarse. Some of them are going to be really fine. It just depends. And so when you like are judging on the rail, you're judging 30 random fleeces and you're looking at like the quality of the wool. So you're looking at one component is their blood grade. So you're looking at like the coarseness of it. Is it fine? Like, and you have like multiple choice answers on what you can choose on that. You're looking at the length of it. So you pull a lock, which is like basically a piece of the wool out, and you look at the length of that staple and see if it meets like length requirements. And then finally, your third piece is you'll look at the yield, and yield means basically how clean the wool is. So a lot of times, like, fleeces can be filled with a lot of dirt and grease, and if they're filled more with that, they're going to have a lower yield grade. But if they're really clean, then they'll have a higher yield grade. So okay, on the rail, it's 30 fleeces. You go through there, there's different parts on it, and you basically look at the quality of wool. And then after the rail, you have what's called classes. So it's very similar to like meats and livestock judging, where like in livestock judging, you'll judge a class of lambs, or you'll judge a class of goats, a class of pigs, all that. Here you're judging like types of wool. So let's say you'll have one class and it's called a merino breeding class. So this means the four fleeces that are in this class all came off of merino sheep. So you'll judge a class, basically like you'll have criteria and priorities. One of those will be weight. So majority of the time you're going to place a class from heaviest to lightest. So you'll go through the class, you'll weigh each fleece. The heaviest one normally always wins and the lightest one usually goes last. There's a lot more like, there's things get tricky, such as you'll go into things called yield switches. Like sometimes if one's really dirty, it's only because it has a lot of grease and dirt. Sometimes because it's so gross, it's terrible quality wool. So you don't want that to win that class. Or maybe one fleece, you pull a lock and it breaks. That means one time that sheep got really sick. Having a break in wool is not good quality wool. It wouldn't do good throughout the processing part of it. So I'm going to put that fleece in last too. But you go through these classes, you place them all on your criteria that you have. And then you'll have certain classes where you have to give reasons on, which is like an oral like speech about it. So there's six classes and you'll give like reasons. I think it four. And so you'll go to different judges after and you give a set of reasons. So you give like a speech about that class. And then those judges will rate you on like a 0 to 50 point scale on how they think you best first define that class in terms of accuracy, if you placed it correctly, the reasons why you placed it, if those were correct. And finally on like your like confidence and like your public speaking abilities. And then after that, that's basically it. But like to put a general overview of it, wool judging is like you're judging the quality of the wool that you're looking at. And at the end of the day, like the wool industry is like, it's an actual thing. Like that wool is what makes products in the world. And so you always want good quality wool to be selling from warehouses to go like, to be like, to go to different trade commodities all across like the world and such. So at the end of the day, you want to be trading and working with good quality wool. So basically you go through there, judge that quality and rank it on such. So.
Wow. There's a lot of components interwoven into that entire process. That's impressive. Nick, all I heard was blood grade and I went back to the Sheep Fight Club. Okay. I'm sorry. That's from my mind. No, I'm just kidding. I know y'all are animal conservationists. Nick, what do you think about that, man? I mean, what kind of wool are you getting? Quality wool? I don't know.
No, dude, I like it. Carly, thank you for putting it into perspective for all of us. You know, I heard fleece and I immediately thought, okay, so they're judging the stuff that is going to be put into like fleece jackets. Essentially, like that's kind of what they do. The industry does for, you know, retail and for like jackets and that sort of thing. And so you're judging the fleeces based off of a number of different categories and varieties based off of like what you said, the breed, the color, the softer, how hard it is or coarse it is, that sort of thing. So that's a really good overview. I appreciate that.
Yeah. No, that was actually like really eye-opening just because, you know, you buy clothes, you do this and that, but you don't actually think about the material that goes into that. And so y'all are frontline experts on the matter. And I mean, clearly you're very, very good at what you do.
Thank you. I couldn't imagine
going and talking in front of the judges and giving an oral presentation of the different fleeces that you're judging.
I'd be like,
That's gotta be high pressure.
I'd be like, this is soft wool. This is slightly less soft wool. I think this is better.
Do you approach that? How do you approach that real quick?
So reasons, it was definitely new to me because basically the basics of a contest like wool on a collegiate level was very similar to high school. But in high school, we didn't give reasons. So coming to college, it was like brand new to me. But honestly, it's it's difficult to learn at first, again, when especially when it's a brand new topic. But that's when you know, like, you've become a good judger, when you can go into the room and you don't have a full speech memorized. Rather, you can think of the class in your head. So, like, if it's merino breeding fleeces, it's like class one, and I can look back and I know, I like can picture each fleece individually and know why I put three first, because not only was it the heaviest handling, but it was pulling the longest staple and was highest yielding. And so you basically have a thought process, and really, like, to break it down and simplify it, you're just explaining to the judges why you placed it, and you're helping them paint a picture in their head. Like, you're just, they can sit there, and if you describe it and you give like a high set, if you're giving a high set, only if you were able to describe that class to them, if they have never even seen it before. So
that was something I was going to ask too. So obviously when y'all go in, these, like, y'all have not worked with these animals, right? So this is like wool that y'all are unfamiliar with, I guess, you know, in layman's terms, whatever, the best way I can explain it is y'all don't go in and shear the sheep or anything. They just give y'all the wool, and then y'all assess from that point on. Is that how that works?
Yeah, exactly. So I'm not entirely sure where the contest or livestock expeditions get their wool from, but coming into it, like, we do not see this wool beforehand. Of course, we have fleeces that have been provided us rather through donors or where we get from wool warehouses that we practice on. But going into all these contests, it's brand new fleeces that we're not aware of.
Awesome. Very cool. Nick, well, the next question, I think, on at least my mind, maybe other people's minds, we'll see, is who are some other, you know, reputable programs out there, you know, from a competitive standpoint, kind of nationwide or at least statewide? And who would you characterize as our greatest competition?
Honestly, when it comes to the wool judging world, it started off really small, but it is beginning to grow. So at the beginning, it was mainly just the state of Texas. These wool judging schools included Texas Tech, Angelo State University, and Texas A&M University. We've also been able to, going to Wyoming, been able to compete against other schools such as Tarleton came, I believe Kansas State, Wyoming had a school, and there was some others as well. But our main competition would definitely have to be centered in Texas right now. And I solely say that because that's how it's been for years, not discrediting any other university, but just it's been kind of like old history of who these schools are. And honestly, it's like neck and neck. Like Texas A&M, Angelo, and Texas Tech all have very similar amounts of national championships. So like competitions between the three schools is very tight. So I wouldn't honestly say there's just like one sole person that we're competitive against, but everyone is pretty tight in the race.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate you being modest, Carly, because you know, it's no mystery to Nick and I that you guys are clearly the best. And, you know, I don't know if I even put A&M in the same league as y'all, but no, that's a great answer. And it's interesting to see kind of how the field is laid out, and you know, that Texas is primarily, you know, from what it sounds like, the kind of, you know, breadwinner state when it comes to these competitions and wool judging. Nick, I'm gonna throw it to you, man. Let's go keep going down the list here.
All right, let's see here. Does each member of the team have a different role?
Honestly, no. When it comes to wool judging, so you have two teams and then you have an alternate team. So on these two teams, you have four teammates on of them. Normally it's team one and team two, and that alternate team is like the rest of them. So I think we had 14 members on our team. So we had top two, which included of eight, and the rest were on our alternates. And everyone judges the same. And something that I really admire about Texas Tech judging program is that we go in there, even if you're marking on the alternate team, even if you know your team two or team one, like none of that matters, because at the end of the day, you're just trying to win for Texas Tech solely. And that's something that my team really focused on this last year. Yeah. And something that was cool was literally team two was actually the one that like was the high point team at the at nationals. Oh, wow. And on top of that, we had tons of alternates that were placing within the top 10 on different parts. And so really each team member has the exact same role. And at the end of the day, that's just to win for everyone on our team. So.
Man, sounds like you're a team player, Carly, for sure. Or all of y'all are, I guess. You know, that's a tight-knit group.
I mean, it sounds like, you know, from what you said earlier, Carly, about how, you know, the first competition in Wyoming, y'all didn't do very well as far as your standards. And it sounds like in Houston, everything just came together. The clouds, you know, rolled back and the sun came shining down on Texas Tech to win that natty.
And the humidity was super dense. It was awesome. Nick's actually from closer to Houston. I'm more south side, you know, suburbs, but we're claimed to be, you know, Houstonites. Definitely go there a lot, and that's where we're our hub, you know, hubbed out of. So you know, I love the Houston Livestock and Rodeo, and I'm glad that you were telling us earlier, it all came together and in that moment, and you know, it was it culminated to success for you guys. So that is awesome. What else do we have? Oh, yeah. I mean, that's kind of what we had before we get to our lightning round. Is there anything else, Nick, off the top of your head? I feel like I've kind of asked all the questions that I had as far as – I mean, I have a better understanding of it. Oh, no, sorry. Go ahead, Nick. It looked like you were about to say something.
Yes, good eye, Jackson. Before you sat down, Carla and I were talking about – how she's kind of a freshman phenom. Those are my words, not hers. she would never call. She's too modest. We could already tell. Too humble.
She tried to put us in the league with A&M, which all of us know is not even close to accurate.
But you said, Carly, and I thought this was really interesting, and I want the listeners to hear this, of how, like, you know, as a freshman, most of the world judging team are freshmen, and you kind of go up through the ag school doing different judging over time, you know, depending on what year you are at Tech. Can you kind of describe that a little bit and unpack it for the listeners?
Yeah, definitely. So on a more traditional way, when it comes to being involved on judging programs within like collegiate levels, if you're starting like your freshman, you're off at a senior, like at a senior college, meaning you didn't go to a junior college before, and you're wanting to be involved in like higher judging programs, such as like meats and livestock, then majority of the time you'll start off with wool judging, and that kind of like sets a foundation for what it's like to be on a judging team. And then if you want to move on and say you're interested in meats, then that next step would be meats judging. And then after that, if you're interested in livestock, then you can move up to what would be like basically your final year of collegiate judging on a livestock judging team. So.
Yeah. Sweet. Right on.
That's awesome. Right on. And the last thing, I mean, so, and you don't have to go into too much detail on this, 'cause it might be too complex for, you know, non-ag, you know, kind of individuals like Nick and I, and probably a lot of our listeners. But I was reading an article earlier that Nick had sent that was talking, you know, highlighting our wool judging team and giving praise on y'all's national championship run and kind of how the scoring went. And I was wondering, because, you know, you were referenced actually, you know, individually in that article, and there were a couple other people that were listed out, and it was going off of different, like how does the point system, I guess is the final question we'll ask here. How does that point system work on a face value baseline level, just for our listeners to understand, you know, so that, and also real quick, is it a spectator event? Like, are people allowed to watch y'all do this?
Good question.
That honestly is a good question, that last one. It's not a spectator event. Trust me. Nobody wants to watch us judge.
I was going to tailgate. Nick and I were going to throw a tailgate for the next competition.
Yeah, that's funny. But it's not a spectator event. But the grading like system, basically the points, it can get a little confusing. But it's also very similar to the way I explained the structure of how wool works. Is basically they will like, there will be like a high individual of like each part of like, so you'll have a high individual, you'll have like a top 10 individuals on the rail judging component of wool, then you'll have a top 10 individuals on all the classes, top 10 on reasons, and then you'll have like overall top 10, and then they'll also break it down to like the top teams on rail, the top teams on grading, and then like overall top teams. So they take each different component of the wool judging competition and then put like individuals like in awards on that.
Okay, I got you. All right, very cool. Well, from the sounds of it, there's no, you know, fluff pieces on this team. They're all bona fide, just through and through experts when it comes to ag. And Carly, do you have any plans on moving forward, maybe getting into meat judging, or I don't even know. I'm assuming just because it's our horse ranch team, but that, we're looking to line up another interview. I'm assuming that's through the ag program,
yeah,
right?
Definitely. Yeah, all the horse judging, ranch horse team, like that's also throughout Kasner too.
So do you have any plans on kind of, or, you know, a projection of where you're going to end up after now your freshman year going into your sophomore year at Tech?
Yeah. Honestly, I think this is, I went into college thinking my judging career, I solely just wanted to do wool. And so I think it'll end here, but I definitely want to still hopefully like be a component of the wool judging teams, whether that looks like just coming in day to day whenever they need help from somebody to can help them with practice or just help kids listen to reasons. But I definitely think my judging career ends right here after wool. So.
Well, you know, hey, they say, you know, go out or, you know, quit while you're ahead, go out while you're on top. You're a national championship, and we're super excited for where our ag program's at and for your accomplishments and coming on the podcast. So before, you know, our last, what we describe as the lightning round, you know, we do this with a lot of our interviewees, you know, our guests that come on the pod. We like to kind of loosen it up, you know, and actually I forgot to do, Nick, our, and I know, Carla, you might not listen to the pod a lot, but this is our signature celebration noise that we make.
Or, is that a Red Bull?
You know, honestly, I could probably use one right now. Our signature sound for everything that, you know, everything that we celebrate and highlight and that we're excited for. And so this was, you know, eye-opening, and now we like to kind of, you know, go behind the scenes. And this is what I think people really enjoy you know, listening to and kind of seeing is students and people affiliated with Texas Tech, what they like to do in their spare time, right? Their hobbies. And, you know, we break it down because that's something that we talk about on the podcast a lot. You know, Nick and I, our hobbies, like what we like to do and all that, and things that we enjoyed at Texas Tech, places we enjoyed at Texas Tech. We tell some stories and stuff like that. So our lightning round, all that to be said, we're getting to the lightning round. We have four questions, you know, answer them the best you can. I know you're a freshman, so you got to probably be careful with some of this, although there are, at least when Nick and I was there, there were some 18 and up bars that they had, you know, that everyone could go out and enjoy themselves at. But I'll start us off, and then I'll let Nick pick up on question two here. What is your personal favorite hangout spot? And this can be, you know, bar, restaurant, on campus, wherever. It could be, you know, where y'all do, you know, your wool judging on campus and where you practice there. Favorite hangout spot for yourself, and then also a popular going out place, you know, for the wool judging team.
Nice. Yeah, I love that. Honestly, my favorite hangout spot on campus, Animal Science Atrium. Easy. Best place to do homework or a Zoom call. And just a little plug, you can go to Red Raider Meats there. It's like wholesale meats. And then on top of that, I promise you, that's the best food on campus. You can't use your Raider card, but you can solely get some of the best food, not even like in Lubbock, probably. So personally, that's my favorite hangout spot on campus. I think where the wool judging team likes to go out, and I can say it because it is a bar, that on Thursday nights, it's college night, 18 and up, chances are. Best dance hall in town that we like to go to. So there you go.
Let's go. Okay, first off, I believe you with the best food in Lubbock because y'all obviously have the best meats in Lubbock. I am sad that you can't use your Raider card, although, of course, I'm not in college. I might, you know, try to go back, get another major or something. But I used to abuse the Raider card. And you know who else used to abuse my Raider card? The guy you're looking at on the screen right here, Nick Thompson. I was just throwing charity his way every chance I got because I had a lot of funds there on the Raider card. So that's unfortunate. But
wait, why are you making me out to be this some kind of
dude,
like Raider card mooch?
I used to buy you so much. Sorry, you have to witness us, you know, going into this, Carly. I apologize. I used to buy this guy sushi, Chick-fil-A, the Chick-fil-A sandwiches, Boar's Head, because you were my boy, man. I was gonna hook you up. No, I offered, obviously, but like you indulge, you know.
I think you're getting me mixed up with
you. Oblige.
Let's get back to Carly.
I was blessing everybody. No, Carly, the next thing, and more importantly, the place you just listed about going out, what's it called?
Chances Are.
Chances Are. Nick, did you ever spend the night out at Chances Are?
No, but is that in Depot District?
Honestly, no. It's on like Slide.
Oh, on slide.
If it was in Depot, I love it already.
There was a dance hall, man. It was across from Soho in the Depot district. I can't think of the name. I want to say Wild West, but I don't think that's right.
My brother's went to Wild West.
Oh, it is? It is Wild West?
It was Wild West, 100%.
Yeah.
I feel like I need another beer crack for that place because, like, RIP.
So it shut down?
My car got towed there twice.
Mm,
yeah. But chances are, like, so it's a country dance hall. I mean, that would be fitting, I feel like, for the ag team, right?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
So y'all like to go there, cut up, do a little two-step.
Yeah, Thursday nights it has a like country music, line dancing, all that jazz. So
that hey, I can't say I'm shocked. I feel like that's very fitting. That's a very fitting going out place for the Wool Judging team.
And do they play Copperhead Road at least once a night?
I feel like you're beginning to stereotype us. So
no, I love Copperhead Road.
I'm literally a Copperhead
that's what
Road
I live guy. For. Every wedding that I go to, I hope they play it so I can dance to it. But you said line dancing. That makes me think of Copperhead Road. So that's why I asked.
That's good insight right there. Hey, if you're a tech student and you're looking to hang out, get down, meet the ag team, you know where to find them now on Thursday nights. Popular spot. Thank you for that, Carly. Okay, Nick, next. I'm going to let you hit her with that one.
Let's go. All right. Well, it says on here, favorite restaurant in Lubbock. You touched on the food in the atrium.
Oh, yeah,
but other than that one, do you have a favorite restaurant?
Easy. La Diosa. Y'all, no?
Is it new? Oh, my God. I feel so, like, uncultured in Lubbock now.
I love La Diosa. Maybe Evie Mae's Barbecue out in Wolfirth. Yes.
I've heard of that one.
Yeah.
Because I have a friend whose grandma lives out there who I've stayed with before. We stayed out there, and that is a very popular spot over there in Wolfirth.
I like that one. Or if I'm feeling fancy and have money to spend, Las Baristas. You can't go wrong at that
Las
one.
Las Baristas. That's solid. Hold on. What was the first place you said?
La Diosa.
Is it new? Nick?
No. I mean, I think it's been around ever since, like, for a long time. It's, like, La Diosa Cellars. It's out on, like,
17th Street.
Yeah, like.
Nick and I just couldn't get away from Raider Burritos, man. We were addicted.
Yeah.
When I wasn't buying Nick sushi in the sub, we were at Raider Burritos drinking water and eating burritos.
Yeah.
It's owned by the McPherson family, which has all the wine, wineries.
Oh, okay. Hold on. Now, is it a little fancier maybe? Maybe that's why.
Yeah, it's kind of like eclectic a little. They sell like tapas. Like it's like you get a lot of appetizers and stuff. So
that explains why I never made it out there in college because my palate was not diversified. I was like Torchies, Red Burrito. Canes. That makes a lot of sense, but I feel like I have seen that place now that you mention it, because they have, like you said, like a cellar there, right? Like a lot of wine options.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
I know what you're talking about now. Very nice, very nice. Okay, next question here. We're getting down to the nitty-gritty here and the final two questions. Favorite animal to work with in the ag program? What's your favorite barnyard animal? Actually, it can be domestic too, but just like your favorite animal that you deal with probably on a regular basis.
That's so easy. It's sheep. Like,
let's go. She is the sheep queen. We said it at the beginning of the pod. She knows a lot about sheep, and that's it, man. She is the sheep queen. What's your favorite thing about sheep? Like, they're just great animals?
Yeah, they're honestly pretty versatile. I showed sheep throughout my life too. So I've always just been around them. And so they've always been my favorite animal to work with.
Are they ever aggressive? Or are they typically pretty friendly?
It's always different, honestly. Like the different breeds, like it honestly depends. Like different breeds are known to be either more aggressive or stubborn. So
I
have that prompts another question that I have for you regarding sheep. And I want to debunk a myth, I guess, that I've always heard. And if you don't ever shear a sheep, Oh. Does the wool keep growing and growing and growing until it just falls over?
I hope people shear the sheep before it gets that bad.
Yeah.
But I've never honestly heard of that before, because usually they try to shear the sheep before it gets to that extent. But the wool, like, does have the capacity to keep growing. So.
I swear I've seen pictures online of, like, giant sheep.
Of sheep, like, just, like, with tons of wool, so.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I'm trying, you know, it's like my grandfather actually, you know, raises horses. I've been around horses in north of Dallas in Bonham, Texas, where my mom's side of the family's from. We have, like, cows and a lot of farm animals out there. But I can honestly say, like, I mean, even, you know, goats, roosters, chickens, all the stuff that I've, like, interacted with growing up, but I'm not as familiar with sheep. So this is interesting to me. Yeah. To hear about the different, you know, like you were saying, different breeds of sheep kind of, you know, obviously have different characteristics and behaviors. And who knows, Nick, maybe we should just get, like, our new mascot for the podcast, Ramblin' Raider Sheep, dude.
Maybe.
But yeah, that's cool. So sheep all the way. And just a PSA, shear your sheep, because if you don't, you're a jerk. And they might fall over and they might not be able to control their equilibrium. Messed up. Last but not least, we've come to the end. This has been really great, Carly. A lot of fun to get your insight on this. We hope you've enjoyed this experience as much as we have. But your favorite to this point, and I didn't know this when I was putting this outline together, I didn't realize that our wool judging team was comprised of mostly freshmen, like, you know, younger classmen, right? Like freshmen primarily. What's your, to this point, favorite memory? This can be sports, this can be ag, fun night going out, whatever, you know, anything and everything. Nothing's off the table here. Favorite overall memory just at Texas Tech so far? I guess your whole freshman year was COVID, wasn't it?
Yeah, honestly, another cool thing about Kasner is, like, we were able to, like, because of it being a smaller college, like, I had a lot of classes in person. So that was – it honestly wasn't terrible. I had a pretty good experience.
I was going to say, sorry for even asking that question. My ignorance right now is just
– no, it's all good.
Precedes me. But, yeah, no, I guess favorite memory still. Even – I'm sure it's going to get a lot better for you in these next 3 years, obviously, once things get back to, you know, some a state of normalcy.
Yeah. I think a favorite memory that instantly comes to mind would be traveling to Wyoming with my teammates. So that was a long road trip that we all spent in a van. But we made tons of memories. At one point, we had to pull over on the side of the road because there was like a windstorm going on.
Oh, wow.
But really, that entire trip that we spent all the way, I've never been to Wyoming. A lot of people on the team never have either. So being able to, like, travel across the country and see beautiful country with my friends would definitely have to be my favorite memory. So
windier than Lubbock even?
No, yeah, like, it was bad. Like, because I'm from Seminole, like, I know.
Oh, Lubbock. Yeah, yeah. You know when, you know.
Yeah,
when.
Exactly. It was like, it was pretty bad. Like, had to pull over. It was pretty bad. So.
Wow. Well, I've never been to Wyoming, but my fiance has and has said it's absolutely breathtaking, beautiful aesthetically. And so I can imagine that was a very awesome moment for you and your teammates.
Yeah.
Nick, looks like you're falling asleep over there, man. Are you not interested in the sheep?
No, man. I'm just enjoying the conversation, just listening.
Just taking it all in.
Yeah, well, I've never been to Wyoming, so I couldn't put anything in there on top of that.
I haven't either, but I'm very jealous because, like I said, my fiance just went on a trip with one of her girlfriends, and they had an amazing time. They hiked around and said it was, like, truly awe-inspiring. I mean, it was beautiful.
Yeah.
And you get to go out there and do what you love, right? Compete and judge wool, which is great. You know what we need to do, Nick? I just thought before we close this out. We need to send Carly our merchant, our apparel, and let her make sure that we have fine wool cotton in there, whatever. We need to let her pick out, I think you said, like, microfiber. I'm forgetting the terminology. Microfibers, was that something that you said earlier?
Micron diameter fiber works too.
There it is. Perfect. We need you to you know, make sure that we're giving out the best merchandise, the best apparel, our hoodies, our t-shirts. We want to make sure that that's quality, premium, material being used. So we might need to send you a couple samples, and also just send you a hoodie and a t-shirt, obviously, for coming on the podcast.
Heck yeah, absolutely.
Good deal. Well, Nick, you have anything else? That's all from me on this one, man. This has been a great episode.
Yeah, it's been fun really getting to know Kasner as a whole, and the wool judging team and the competitions. I've enjoyed it thoroughly, Carly. So I really do appreciate you coming on.
Yeah. Well, thank y'all again for having me on here. And once again, just being able to highlight the programs that we have within the College of Ag. Like, I genuinely do appreciate y'all giving us the opportunity to explain what we do from day to day. So, and being interested, like, it means a lot. So
all I know is within the last year, we've won not one, not two, but three national championships. Someone's got to call it out the way it is. We have the best ag program in the nation. We are so supportive of y'all, and we're really glad that you took the time I know your busy schedule to come on here and kind of, tell our listeners what it's all about. The Texas Tech community is behind y'all, and y'all kick ass. Clearly, national championships all the way around. And thank you again, Carly, for coming on here and just giving us the time of day.
Thank y'all.
Awesome. All right. Well, with that, we're going to close this podcast out. We'll record that at a later time. But Carly, thanks again. Guns up. And wreck we appreciate, and yeah, wreck them. We appreciate you coming on. Well, with that, Ramblin' Raiders listeners, we are going to conclude this episode 96. Real quick, Nick, what did you think, man? I mean, I think Carly carries herself with more class, professionalism, and elegance than I mean, it's what we strive to be, but she was able to do it in a way that we can only dream of, man. And you and I, we try, but at the end of the day, man, we're just a couple jesters in the court, baby.
Yeah, I mean, Carly, she's a very well-spoken young lady, and I mean, the future is bright for her, within ag, and we were talking before pod, and she's done a lot even in high school with ag, and so wherever she goes in her life, it's going to be bright for her, and even bright for Kasner and the ag school at Tech in the College of Agriculture. And I'm glad we got to highlight this.
Yeah.
Very special program within Texas Tech's community, because a lot of people talk about it, but like you said in the episode, and like Carly said, not a lot of people know what it actually is, including ourselves. So I was glad that we could bring it to light for our listeners, and hopefully this episode, reaches a lot of people so that, the sheep wool judging team, as well as the rest of Kasner, can get the recognition that they deserve.
No, I absolutely agree with you, Nick. That's a great point. And I will say this, man, at least, Carly's accomplishments are far and wide. That's undeniable, right? But I will say, Nick, I think if I had to take, you or her in a calf scramble competition, dude, I might put some money on you, big dog. I think I could see you getting down out there and getting a calf, roped up and in your corner.
Don't be surprised if you see me out there next year at the Houston Livestock Show and Rodeo, my man.
I would pay good money to see that. But no, jokes aside.
I will form tackle that calf.
If I was a FFA student in high school, I'm showing no mercy, because those calves show no mercy at all.
Captain Insano shows no mercy.
That's right. But no, jokes aside, man, Carly did a great job. Super proud of her, of our ag program, of our wool judging team. They're amazing. They're literally the pinnacle of the competition that they perform in. I mean, they are the pinnacle, the peak of excellence. They're national championships. I mean, they won national championships. They are national champions, and we are super proud of them. And also very thankful for Carly for coming on this podcast. She did an amazing job. With that, we are ready to close. Everybody, if you haven't already, you can, obviously find us all over social media, Facebook at Ramblin' Raiders Podcast, or just Ramblin' Raiders Podcast, Instagram at Ramblin' Raiders, Twitter at Ramblin' Raiders, our website, ramblinraiders.com. Check out our merch. Look at our apparel, merch apparel, same thing. Check out our apparel. Check out our write-ups, downloadable, episodes downloadable from the website. We had everything on there, and just a lot of good things coming, Nick, for Ramblin' Raiders. When you and I were talking kind of off air here for a second, we have a lot in the works, and we're really excited about what's to come.
Yes, sir. Stay tuned also for our big special donation charity this month of May.
Yes. No, we do. I know we've been teasing it, but it's a very important. We're excited about it. Everybody, you know, bundle up tight. Make sure you have that premium wool.
Right.
Crank that. Okay.
We out.
I can't wait to be back in Houston with my pod partner, Nick.
That's right, baby.